The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand upright. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said to them, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It all ends tonight. Over 2 weeks ago, the Olympic flame entered Rio and opened our eyes to green pool waters and worldwide fears of Zika. But tonight, however, tonight, that cauldron goes dark. Now, during this brief illumination, I've been struck by the variety of athletic postures. And what I mean by that is the ways that the athletes use their body. Divers, boxers, archers, and weightlifters all posture differently for their sport. And one posture expert writes that gymnastics postures involve a lot of unnatural sways. And swimmers sometimes fight their primal natural posture by rounding their spine as well. Now, when a swimmer repeatedly arches or sways when coming up for air, this actually stresses the lower back. It puts the spine at risk for serious injury. And ultimately, it dampens the power of the swimmer's stroke. See, you see that posture is important to the Olympians. And so too, posture is an important focus of today's gospel. The healing of a bent-over woman on the Sabbath is a story unique only to Luke. For 18 years, did you catch that? 18 years, she was hunched and unable to straighten herself. For 18 years, this unnamed woman strained to see the sun. For 18 years, she became accustomed to looking downward at the ground. For 18 years, her world was one of turning to the side to see those who stood up straight. For 18 years. It's no wonder that she never asked Jesus for healing. And it's no wonder that no one ever asked Jesus for healing on her behalf. After all, it had been 18 years. In the big scheme of things, though, 18 years is nothing. Now, 1,300 years, that's something to talk about. And about 1,300 years before Jesus, tradition holds that Moses received the oral Torah on Mount Sinai. And so for 1,300 years, right rules about the Sabbath dominated the synagogue. For 1,300 years, rabbis argued about what this law means and how it actually protects us to create order. And I don't want to believe today that the religious leaders in the text are as evil as we make them out to be. In fact, I think they're just as twisted as that unnamed woman. Because for over 1,300 years, the religious institution had forgotten that the Sabbath is about abundant life. And abundant life, as Jesus sees it, is fulfilled not by forbidding works of compassion, but by actually encouraging the works of compassion. As theologian David Loos puts it, the law is God's gift to help us live into God's dream. God's dream that all persons would be treated with love and respect, that all people would grow up with a robust measure of dignity, that all people would have enough to eat and a safe place to live. It's easy to judge this woman and those religious leaders too harshly and then to fall into our own self-righteousness. So let's face it, we are just as warped as they are. We hunch over computers and smartphones, aiming our bodies to the ground. We turn away from others out of fear because of their gender, their nationality, their sexual orientation, their age, their rage, their race, maybe their rage as well, but maybe their income status, political party, their inability, or their belief system. We grasp onto things of this world so tightly, bringing them in towards ourselves, that we hunch over having enough money and enough time and enough possessions and enough of our own self-value. Because our self-doubt and our insecurities weigh us down so much that we find ourselves contorted by depression and anxiety and hypocrisy. We, as a people, are warped by our lack of self-esteem and our unrighteous self-absorption. And we're unable to free ourselves. Unable to see the full world around us, unable to see the gift of the law. We are crooked people. Then Jesus saw the woman. He called her over and said, "You are now well." He placed his hands on her, and right away she stood up straight and praised God. I appreciate this translation of Luke where Jesus says, "You are now well." Jesus spoke a healing word. Jesus gave her a blessing. Jesus spoke something new into existence. And then Jesus took a really close posture to her as he laid his hands on her. He honored her. He included her. He acknowledged her. And he invited her into a new way of being. Jesus responded to that debilitating shame by honoring her and bringing her healing. But that wasn't all in today's reading, because Jesus then also spoke to the religious leaders and to the system of oppression. Jesus spoke to a system that had created rules that did not infect the enforcer anymore. Jesus responded to the rules that overlooked the intent of the law. Jesus reminded them that the Sabbath is not a day to be lazy, but rather the Sabbath is a day where the community stops its routine work and gathers to rid the world of oppression and abusive shame. And today, On this, our Sabbath day, we are challenged in that same way. We are called to wonder with the questions like, where have you been contorted or twisted or warped? Where have you been complicit in our societal values that bend us from love and from grace? For it is with those questions, and probably more importantly, the answers, that we find ourselves in a misshapen posture. But then we're ultimately reminded of what healing looks like. These biblical healing texts were sometimes difficult for me to work with as a hospital chaplain. You see, some patients would tell me that they didn't have enough faith or that their illness was punishment for something they had done before. Some were literally bent over from age or illness, and they would get down on themselves because, in their mind, they weren't made well. Yet, today we do not hear that this woman had faith. That's actually not mentioned at all in today's reading. And still, she is healed. We don't know her exact illness or if it was a metaphorical healing, but what I do know is that I've been bedside with families who have been torn apart, families that were disfigured by abuse, by addiction, by illness, and by those nasty family secrets. And then there I stood, bent over a bed, tearful, as we mourned the loss of their loved one. Everyone gathered in the room, almost all of them had prayed for healing. And the thing is, I saw healing. You see, their healing was found in the strength and the comfort they received in that time of suffering. Strength to comfort one another and strength to be gracious. Their healing was found in the wholeness of reconciliation near the end of life and the peace that comes only from love. Their healing was found when a representative of the church came into the room saying, "You are loved. God is with you, and we are with you." Sure, healing of the body is a good thing. It is. And healing is so much more than just bodily afflictions that we suffer. Healing of our spirit is powerful. It's healing that brings us to wholeness and life. For it is in that healing we're reminded that God draws us in and speaks a word of freedom for us so that we might then be sent as agents of healing. And it's that healing we experience here each week. For God grants us this healing in our liturgy, when leaders pray with a posture of open arms, reminding us of God's grace and acceptance. We're granted healing as we gather for a holy meal with the touch of a hand and the bread and body of Christ in your hand and an individualized word spoken directly to you. And we're empowered through the position of anointing, which pronounces God's healing with oil, using the same sign we received in baptism. And we're reminded again and again of God's grace as dear ones call us on the phone and hug us and smile at us and speak a gracious word to us throughout the week. And then after all that, the story's not over. For then, like the crowds gathered around, we are sent from that place, sent from this place, to embody that posture of healing. So there it is. There it is. You are inheritors of God's gift of healing. While you are bent and warped, we all are, I admit to that, you are also made well. Receive the gifts of God's healing presence this day. And then go. Go and sit with those who suffer and mourn, using words only if you have to. Go. Go and seek a posture of wholeness and then share its grace. Go and open yourself to the embodiment of love. You are now made well. Go and share that good news. Amen.